Take your attention to the 40th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah and the last verse, verse 31. Prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40, and verse 31. This, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I don't suppose there's many days that go by when we have to turn to this word and read it and remind the Lord of his promise that is in this word. For such is the pathway of the Lord's people, that there is only one place that they shall be brought to seek and to find and to prove in the coming to the Lord that he shall fulfill this promise. As we read through the chapter, you will have seen, I'm sure, the wondrous words of the dear prophet of old, how he was to see the omnipotence of God, all the power and the ways of God were past finding out. The questions that he would ask, questions that he asked us, to whom then will ye liken God, and what likeness will ye compare unto him? And then he brings us to the latter part of the chapter concerning the state of Israel, Jacob, and Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Words of comfort and encouragement follow. Quite remarkable ways in which he teaches us by the Spirit the opposite. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. I feel this is a spiritual rather than a natural view of these people. But it brings us to the word of his grace, the word that is the text this day. And it speaks of the contrast and the opposite once more. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. That is, there is no one that can possibly come to the conclusion of his understanding. Or to be, shall we say, to exhaust his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. But they that wait, who is this they? Well, it's not generally, is it? It's not some exercise that mankind in general adheres to or seeks after, but they. There is a people that are brought to wait upon the Lord, and God brings them to wait upon him. But how is their state and what is their condition? Are these those who are rich and in need of nothing? Well, they wouldn't wait if they was. These are the poor and the needy. These are the weak people of God. These are the despised people of God. These are those who by the gracious Spirit have been brought to see that their eyes must ever be upon the Lord and nowhere else. These are those who in their own strength and foolishness come to nothing, How many times do you, and I tell you how many times I do, many times I have to say before the Lord, I quote the dear apostles' words, and who is sufficient for these things? Whatever these things are, your power, your trials, your afflictions, your sins, the place that he puts you in, that the walk and pathway that you're found in, providentially, spiritually, who is sufficient for these things? The more than we can manage. They would overwhelm us, overthrow us, if we left to ourselves. And if it was left to Satan, we'd come to nothing. But you know, there is a blessed clause in this. The Lord has inserted a clause in the pathway of his dear people. He's put promises in those, in the pathway. He's brought them to know his word and to plead his word. Underneath are the everlasting arms, we read in Deuteronomy. But they, these people, these needy ones, these poor ones, these wholly dependent ones, these that have burdens to bear, these that have cross-handed providences to bear, these that have crooks in the lot, these that have hard pathways to walk, these that are sinners in themselves, taunted, tempted, distressed, cast down, brought low, but they, this is the people. And this is the clause that's in this word, my friends, and it's written for them, and it is for their comfort and to their consolation and to their joy. Lifts them out of self, takes them from the flesh, removes them from worldly concerns for a moment, and they wait upon the Lord. But they, what a blessed people they are, but what a blessed God they've got. What an all-sufficient helper they have. What a merciful, faithful, high priest they have. But they that wait. Not that waiting, as it were, I don't believe in the first instance that it is that waiting as far as time is concerned. It's an expression that is used, which describes the coming to the Lord for what they need. They wait, not in the waiting, it may well be so, but not in this instance, I feel. It's the looking to the Lord. It's like the woman in the 15th of Matthew. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. This is the waiting. Oh, this is where the eyes of faith are found then. Or they'll find no help elsewhere. Not in the best of people, not in the most gracious of people, not in the most firmest of friendships, not in the most strongest of loves. My friends, it is here where they shall wait, and shall not wait in vain. But they that wait upon the Lord. And they will wait because they are brought to wait. They are brought to cast their burden on the Lord, and they are brought to depend on him for everything. You know, my friends, the Lord grant us a real religion, and you'll find it's everything that you have to wait on the Lord for. Everything. Every moment of every day, of every mercy that you need. Grace to endure unto the end. Grace for today. Grace for every day. But there will be this waiting, because there will always be a need in the people of God. I don't believe, even in the most blessed seasons that the people of God come into, when they are supplied, supported, upheld, that they'll ever come to a time where they will be not without some need. But they, blessed people, you and I amongst them, we trust, may the Lord prove that we are, that wait upon the Lord. But in the provision of this promise, you know, there is this that we must ever learn, that there is this way given to the people of God upon which they must come, the way they must trace out and walk in as they wait upon the Lord. No boldness in themselves, nothing. One of the things that he'll teach you is that you've got no ground in self to stand. No foundation, don't look at your profession as to stand upon it before the Lord. Don't look at your upbringing, your godly parents, nothing like that. My friends, there is only one way you can wait upon the Lord, and that's through the blessed name and person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. How often do you sing? We don't sing it here very often, I don't think, but we ought to. But the hymn writer says that I can no denial take when I plead for Jesus' sake. That's the ground to wait upon the Lord, you know. I learnt when I was a lot younger those words, because I came into the place and the pathway. If you shall ask anything in my name, God has given us a name to plead. And that name must be pleaded before him. It's the name the Father loves to hear his people plead, and all such pleading he approves and blesses them indeed. You'll need that name to plead as you wait upon the Lord. And you'll need this too. You'll need all needed grace. The Lord grants us grace to wait upon the Lord, to come unto him with all the concerns, the sins of our old nature, the burdens of our pathway, the trials and the troubles that we encounter as we go along, the temptations. I'm sure of this, I learnt this years ago, and I'm learning it every day, and I'm reminded of it every day. Many, many years ago I heard a dear minister say, if God has put you in a path which is right in his sight, which is according to his will and purpose, it will be a path you can't manage. And I prove it every day. The Lord doesn't say, well, now there it is, it's set before you, it's a straight way, it's a comfortable way, you don't need my help anymore. My friends, when he leads you forth by the right way, that you might go to a city of habitation, it will be a way of need. Every day of every moment, it will be to wait upon the Lord. Grace for the day, upheld, supported by his right arm, maintained by his grace, led on, following in the way that he will have you be, dependent on him. Oh, how dependent is a poor sinner upon his God. He's absolutely dependent. There's not a shadow of a doubt. You ask them, they'll tell you there's nothing in self, everything in Christ. And they wait on the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord. You will see too that there are four shells in this text. And there is the comfort to God's people. There's no perhaps, there's no maybes. Oh, you'll say, but temptation's great, so it will be. Tell the Lord your temptations. Show the Lord your temptations. Remind him that it's a pathway of temptation, but also remind him of his promised shell. These are God's shells, they're not man's shells. These are the words which comfort the people of God in times of need. This is where you can bring, and I say that with as much reverence as I can command, this is where sinners come with their sin. This is how they are brought to confess sin before a gracious God in and through the person of Christ. And they remind the Lord of his shells. But they that wait upon the Lord shall. Wonderful word, isn't it? God has said it. It's in the word of God. It's recorded. The Holy Spirit has influenced the prophet. And it's in his word to remind every cast down, distressed, burdened soul. It's there for your comfort and your consolation. It's there to prove to you that there is a gracious God in glory upon whom you are brought to wait. They that wait upon the Lord, this people, they'll come because they have to come. He shall call, the psalmist said, and I will answer. Now what is it that they shall renew? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In the 23rd chapter of the book of Job, we find this word. Will he plead against me? with his great power? No. That's a wonderful word, isn't it? That's a wonderful word. This gracious God in glory, will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he will put strength in me. David, wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. The 71st Psalm, a word the Lord made a blessing to me in years past, was this: I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of his righteousness, even of his only. Now, my friends, if you are in the way everlasting, that Lord has put you in the way everlasting, brought you amongst his people, gave you what his people are blessed with, life eternal, oh, the strength that's needed. The strength. Not the natural strength so much, but it's been proved, hasn't it, to those who are weak. Naturally so, those whose health is needed to be revived and so on and so forth. The Lord is in command and rules over and overrules all these things. He's able to give strength according to his day. As it says, you know, and we must ever be reminded, the Lord does remind us by his holy word what he's promised to his dear people as they journey on, where he speaks of that blessing of Asher. Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Do you know those days? Do you always commence the day full of spiritual vigor, full of grace, full of faith? Do you ever rise from your bed and look to the Lord and say, Lord, I shall need that strength today. I shall need that grace that is given, God's gift. You know, this is what's so wonderful about these blessings that he promises to do. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They won't look to anywhere else. They won't gain from anywhere else this grace. And I often felt this, you know, when the Lord speaks these words, there's a purpose in it. This word in the 71st Psalm, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Go where? Where you've got to go? Where he will have you to go. Where he will lead you. Where he will guide you. What he puts before you to walk in. What is his appointed way for his dear people? For those who fear the Lord. Oh yes, providence as well, but grace especially in the ways of God, spiritual pathways. My friends, the natural man receiveth not the things which be of God. It's a foreign language to them. They're not in it, and they never will be in it, not the natural man. But the spiritual man, and in the spiritual pathway, and in these, in that veil of tears that they are travelling through, will not go in their own strength. They will not, they can't. They are unequal to what is before them, my friends, but here we have a promise, shall renew their strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength for what's ever before them. In life's journey, in the spiritual teaching, appointed ways of God, they shall walk it, but they shall walk it not in their own strength or in their own ability. Remember the word, it's not left me, I don't think it ever will leave me, that was preached here a couple of years ago, last year. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning, there's the strength, leaning upon their beloved, there's the strength. It's not in them. Oh, they're a poor lot, you know, the people of God, but they've got a blessed God. They've got a gracious God, they've got a faithful God, they've got an all-sufficient God. And it is upon him that they shall lean for this strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And sometimes, you know, the Lord's people have to learn some hard lessons in the commencement of the way, and sometimes during the way when the Lord is pleased to come and speak a word in season. as it were, to grant them a blessing in their soul. And the promises, and if you read in these Old Testament times, and indeed in New Testament times, the dear saints of God, when they went forth in the ways of God and according to the appointments of God, what they had to learn. It just come to my mind, if I can find it. When the Lord raised up his servant Gideon. Now, he raised up Gideon to overthrow the host of Midian. Now, the Lord spoke to Gideon, and he said this: "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of?" And then again the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And he said, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." What a humble man. But you know, he was looking in the wrong direction. He was looking to his state and condition as a people. And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." But then you say, "Well, Gideon, you've got enough now to go with. That's all you need, the Lord's promise, presence and his help." Came a time, you know, when he had to say this. And Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." And it was so. For he rose up early in the morning and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, "Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak. But this once let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, that it be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Well, Gideon, you've got enough to go with. Let me remind you of this. This is where the strength comes. They called together these who will fight with Gideon. And there was 32,000. 32,000. Now there's your strength, Gideon. Not so. Not so. And it was brought to this. There was 300. By the Lord said unto Gideon, not Gideon unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Gideon, "By the 300 men that lacked will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." What do we learn, my friends, when you read these happenings in the old saints of God in their pathway? Well, what the poet wrote, "But thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught." You know, when he teaches you these truths and lays these sweet promises upon your spirit, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, don't be surprised if he removes all other props and all other helps and all other strength. You know, when the Lord puts his people in the way then and gives them the way to walk and so on. Let me just say this too. What is said of those disciples in the days of Christ? He warned them of the days when they shall come before the elders and before the high priest and all those that oppose the grace of God. And they shall stand for their defense before these people that despise the day of Christ and of his people. What did he say? Well, you must put all this together and you must gather all the information you can to plead my cause. My friends, no, it shall be given you in that day what you shall say. There is your strength. There is your strength. Some come before the church to give an account of the Lord's dealings with their soul. And they sit down and they wonder how it shall be, and they'll be brought to confusion, Satan says. It shall be given you in that day what you shall say. My friends, and there is their strength. What the Lord intends his people to do and what they will do, because he brings to pass his intentions with them and indeed within them, that they shall wait on the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. No help elsewhere. A minister who puts down headings and remarks that he's going to make in his sermon, he's not looking to the Lord. I totally abhor it. I don't care who it is. Whatever place or standing he has, my friends, if he looks to pieces of paper and what he writes, then he's got no strength from the Lord, and he's got no help, my friends, from the Lord, but in his own ways of doing. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And these that wait then shall wait, because they know what else to wait, but because their own strength and their own help is removed. Like as we just read about Gideon, 32,000 was raised up who will come to fight for him. They wouldn't look to the Lord then, would they? They'd look to these 32,000. Wasn't really enough. When you look at that account in Judges, what chapter that is in Judges, it says this, that the host of the Midianites were more than can be numbered. Well, 32,000 wouldn't get too far, but with the Lord on one side, my friends, that is the strength. With his help, if God be for us, who then can be against us? Oh, what a blessed word this is, you know, to somebody. To us all, if we are in the way everlasting, it's not set to one person, but to all the people of God, all that fear the Lord, all that are in the way everlasting, all that have a pathway, which they've proved as they go on, their insufficiency, and their emptiness, and their poverty, and their weakness. You know, I said this sometimes, Satan knows your weakness. Satan knows your weakness, your weak spots. When David hurled a stone at Goliath, the Lord directed that stone. He was a man that would obviously be covered with armour. But the Lord knew the spot where that stone would strike. There was no good striking at the armour that he wore. David was given a suit, a part of armour to wear, but he couldn't wear it because he hadn't proved it. And Goliath went forth with all his weaponry and a man before him with a shield to preserve him from danger. But the Lord knew where that stone would fall, and it fell where it was to be his destruction. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. My friends, what a blessed promise for the weak and for the cast down, for the distressed, for those who feel their poverty. And then also remind you too of spiritual strength. You know, we sometimes sing and concerning the spiritual experiences of the Lord's people, wrestling prayer can wonders do. Bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can break, make a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. Well, you pray for wrestling prayer, you'd say. Well, the Lord so teach you that it is indeed sometimes, according to his purposes, that he will put a spirit of prayer in you. That you're able to spread your matter like Hezekiah did before the Lord in his house. That you might, as it were, be enabled by the gracious Spirit to pray, to lay the matter. The Lord give you that spirit of prayer. It isn't always so, dear friends. It isn't always. Because another poet says, the upward glancing of an eye when none but God is near. Oh, I wouldn't despise the spirit of prayer. The Lord grant it to us each. But sometimes, my friends, it's like the woman we spoke of that's recorded in the 15th of Matthew. Lord, help me. Well, she's not got a spirit of prayer, you'd say. Well, just a few, three words, that's all. It entered into the ear of the Lord God of Sabaoth, didn't it? And he appeared for her and he delivered her and took her burden away. My friends, sometimes it's like that. There is the strength, it's not in volume. It is not in a mass of words. It is not a great oration. You know, Pharisees pray, great oration it is. Men used to stand and listen to them the way they used to go on in their prayers, their public prayers in marketplaces, in the corners of the streets. They were known for it, volume of words. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You won't lean on your prayers. Can't lean on your prayers, my friends. Can't lean on anything. But what the Lord has given his people is this: the faith to look and the faith to beg. And that is where they shall come. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, it's not in volume. Not in volume. It's not in that mass of ability to speak in prayer before the Lord, to utter words which are but words indeed. Gifts. Some men have a gift for speaking, some haven't. My friends, but you will find this, that if God is in it, and the gracious Spirit is teaching, though it may not be out of gifts or ability, the Lord will renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I thought during the week those words, and sometimes we come down to this, don't we? O Lord, thou knowest. That's all. You don't have to. I would be very careful. I'm not telling you what you're to do. But it isn't necessary in the Lord's work and ways, in your soul, in your pathway. The Lord does know. Before they call, I will answer. The Lord does know. And the Lord knows this too, that sometimes it's a closing of the mouth. It's just the look by faith to the crucified one. Wonderful word, my friends, when the Lord puts prayer in your heart. Wonderful faith when he puts that into your heart and you look to the Lord. When you come to that need and time when the Lord renews, the Lord revives. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But let me also remind you of another way before we close, of how the Lord renews their strength. In the psalm of confession of the psalmist David, in the 51st psalm, you find him in a contrite, with a contrite spirit, a spirit of repentance and confession before his God. And what he wanted was reviving. What he wanted was renewing. What he wanted was those sins to be put away, those iniquities pardoned. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only, if I sin and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, to be clear when thou judgest. But it was this: restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And the Lord does this, and in doing so renews their strength, brings to your remembrance seasons and times of blessings past, of his appearances, of those deliverances, those words that he's spoken, those times of joy and gladness that you've walked in. Lost sight of them now, sinner. All is darkness, all is distress. And then he says in Deuteronomy, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And you know, when the Lord revives that work, brings again those blessings that they have entered into and known and have rejoiced in, brought to your remembrance. It's like a resurrection, isn't it? Now again, I would be very reverent using those words. My friends, when the Lord resurrected the times past that you've known, and what's happened, it's renewed your strength. I thought of that expression, many, many years ago by the dear people of God. When the Lord appeared, they renewed their covenant. They were brought to nothing, emptied of anything and everything that's good, cast down, tempted of Satan, laid low in the dust, and the Lord did appear and brought them out of the trouble they were in. And those dear old saints used to say, they renewed their covenant. They went on in the way. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, it may be, if the Lord does keep this word with us, that we shall see then the effect of it. We shall see then the effect of what those renewings have done. Those goings on, those continuings. I said to somebody yesterday, it isn't starting, you know. It's not starting, it's going on that matters. Grace is needed to start in the ways of God. Grace is needed to start in the ways of God, in a child of God's life, whatever he is, wherever he goes, and whatever the Lord's purposes are for him. Grace is needed, but you'll need grace to continue in that pathway. That they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Amen. God willing, there's a prayer meeting on Wednesday. And I hope to be here next Lord's Day. And the closing hymn, 327. Mournful thoughts arise, and where's our courage fled? As restless sin and raging hell struck all our comforts dead, have we forgot the almighty name that formed the earth and sea? And can an all-creating arm grow weary or decay? Hymn 327. once again we ask that we might prove these things. Lord, thy shells, our eternal shells, Lord, in the way that is before us as a people and individually and personally, let there be a proving of it, Lord, and then there will be rejoicing. Oh, that which saps our strength, sin and Satan, unbelief, Lord, all these things sap the strength. But not, Lord, but grant us the grace to heed the word, plead the promise, and prove it as we go on. Forgive everything that's been spoken amiss. Gather us together later. Be with us then, Lord, and that to bless. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us, both now and forever. Amen.